Welcome to the Building Books Podcast. I'm Glenn Yeffeth, publisher of Ben Bella Books, and on this podcast, we will talk about ideas, authors, and how publishing really works. Okay, well, I'm thrilled to have with me today Brian Livingston. Brian is an investigative journalist and the co-author of 11 books in the Windows Secret series, which has sold over 2.5 million copies. He's worked in technology for multiple financial firms and written for a wide variety of computing journals, from InfoWorld to CNET. Years ago, Brian made the transition into finance journalism and is the author of the upcoming Ben Bella book, Muscular Portfolios, The Investing Revolution for Superior Returns with Lower Risk. And I will say I have looked at a lot of proposals in finance. My background in the olden days is in finance, and I'm highly skeptical. Brian's was the first real deal I ever saw, and I was really delighted that he agreed to publish with us.
Well, Glenn, if I may say, you actually have a master's in business administration from the University of Chicago, so you're not shabby as a financial expert yourself.
So, thank you. And I'm also, I will confess, a failed PhD in finance. So I studied with some of the people you talk about in this book, Ken French and Eugene Fama. So anyway, so let's jump right into this. What are muscular portfolios?
Muscular portfolios are financial strategies designed by experts to never lose more than 18%, maybe 20% in a bear market, maybe as much as 25% in the worst crash ever, like the Great Depression or the global financial crisis. What people fear is losing half of their life savings because the market suddenly crashes. Now, people don't need to fear that anymore. They can invest, they can get market-like returns with no fear of crashes. That's a muscular portfolio.
So muscular portfolios, if I understand this right, is really about the drops. It's about reducing the drops. What about your overall returns over time? Isn't that what really counts?
Yes. We are not advocating day trading. We're not advocating fast in and out shifts of trading. We are advocating long-term investing. That's where you really make money. Studies have consistently shown that people who trade more make less money. People who trade the least make the most money because they're gaining as the market is going up. The thing is that when your portfolio has lost 30, 40, 50%, as the S&P 500 does every 10 years on the average, your performance just goes down the drain. By keeping your portfolio from crashing, by seeing it going down 18% or 20% when the S&P 500 is down 50%,
right,
you feel great. That is a fantastic feeling that you can brag to your neighbors. You can share your happiness with your family. Watching the S&P 500 go in the tank and your portfolio is just in a correction, that feels phenomenal.
You also point out that, you know, what happens in those crashes, even though maybe we get obsessed with stocks when the market is going up and we want to beat the market, but what happens in those crashes has a huge impact on the overall long-term portfolio value. And you talk about Warren Buffett and his, explain a little bit about how Warren Buffett's portfolio has behaved.
Warren Buffett must be the most celebrated investor of our time. Any investor would kill to have his performance. He has outperformed the S&P 500, I think, 5, 6, 7 percentage points over the past 25 years. The secret that most people don't know is, does Warren Buffett beat the S&P 500 when it's rising? Does Warren Buffett beat the S&P 500 during a bull market? Most people would say, yes, he's such a great investor. But the truth is that he underperforms the S&P 500 during every bull market in recent memory. He underperformed the S&P 500 during the 2002 to 2007 bull market. He underperformed the S&P 500 during the 2009 bull market to today. The way he has made his phenomenal gains is that the last two bear markets, he lost less than the S&P 500. His portfolio was so well diversified that it even went up a little bit in the dot-com crash of 2000 to 2002. So keeping your losses small is something that Wall Street never tells people.
Right.
Wall Street wants you to buy their risky investments. They want you to buy their mortgages or their liquid whatever, and that is how they sell junk to you. What you want as an investor is assets that are going to keep a level keel, go up when the market is going up, but not lose very much when the market is crashing.
Right. And we're going to talk more about what muscular portfolios are in a minute, but I just want to stay focused on what they mean to you as an investor. And so you talk about, yes, they, Busco portfolios will go down less in a bear market, maybe not quite as much in an up market, but net net, your head, just like Warren Buffett might be, or has been over the over time. But there's also a psychological dimension, isn't there? Which is that when stocks crash, people tend to make the wrong decisions.
People have a tremendous intuitive instinct to do the wrong thing in the market. That is something that we see again and again and again with statistics and with studies and with interviews with investors. We all evolved as human beings to jump away when we see a poisonous snake. That saved our lives. Your grandfather, right. Your great-grandfather,
exactly.
If they hadn't jumped, you wouldn't be here. So that serves us well, but it works terribly when you're picking stocks. The stock market moves in erratic ways that make people think, this is going up, so I'll buy it. And then it goes down. Or this is going down, I can't stand it, I'm going to sell at the bottom. And then it goes up. That is how Wall Street makes its money. That's why free markets have accumulated money ever since the Amsterdam Stock Exchange in 1602. They've been doing this game for 400 years. Well, we should get hip to it. We should learn how not to jump the wrong way when we see moves in the market. Just ignore the day-to-day fluctuation. Watch your money grow. A double-digit return is what individual investors have a right to expect. You can make 10%, you can make 11%, you can make 12%. The S&P 500 has made a return of 10% over the last 45 years. That's a very realistic return for people to expect, a double-digit return. What you don't get is if you see your portfolio going down 30, 40, 50%, and then you say, I'm getting out. And it's not like you're panicking. People don't feel like they're in panic mode when they're liquidating all of their stocks and switching everything to cash. Their verbal center is telling them, you have to protect your family's life savings. You can't stand this pain anymore. You can't let your fortune go down the drain like this. You must get out now. So it seems very logical. It seems very rational. But in fact, people who get out at the bottom of the global financial crisis, for example, tend to stay out of the market for 12 months, 24 months, even more. The first 12 months of the next bull market that starts after a crash is when the biggest gains accumulate. So if you miss the first 12 months, you've missed a lot of the next bull market, which this current bull market is supposedly right. One of the largest in U.S. history. So after this long bull market, what's going to happen is a crash. And that's where muscular portfolios come in.
So I want to emphasize, Brian, that point that you just made, because it really is so important. You know, muscular portfolios based on all the data, and there's a ton of it in the book if you get the chance to see the book. But the data all shows that over time, based on being better in the bear markets, the muscular portfolio is going to be stronger than let's say a buy and hold for the S&P 500. But the point that is often lost is that very few people, given that the S&P 500 can drop 40, 50%, very few people have the stamina to actually stay in that and not sell out. So muscular portfolios almost protects you from yourself because the downturns are much more survivable emotionally.
Yes. How do muscular portfolios work? There are three very experienced experts who are described in the book. Jack Bogle was the founder of Vanguard. He has chosen two different funds that match the S&P 500's return over the past 45 years with very small drawdowns or losses. We have Mevin Faber, who wrote The Ivy Portfolio, which is a very successful book, and he has chosen 13 different low-cost index funds that people can choose from to get these kinds of muscular portfolios. And we have Steve LeCompte, who's the CEO of CXO Advisory. He has chosen 9 low-cost index funds that people can choose from. So you have this spectrum. You can have a very, very, very simple portfolio with just 2 funds, or you can choose from a menu of 9 funds or 13 funds by staying in the funds that statistically have the best chance of going up in the next 30 days. You do really well. You get double-digit returns, but you have to check your portfolio once a month. That's the cost. If you're not willing to go to a website and see what the formula says, your portfolio is just going to drift and then it will crash. So if you are willing to spend 10 or 15 minutes a month, that's all it takes. Just look at our website, muscularportfolios.com. Everything is fully disclosed. The information is completely free. It's the first website that gives away Wall Street's secret buy and sell signals at absolutely no cost.
All right. So let's dig a little deeper because I want everyone to really understand this. So let's just talk about what you call in the book Papa Bear, the 13 funds.
That's right.
And there's 13 asset classes. And how many of them would someone hold at one time?
In a muscular portfolio, you hold three low-cost index funds at all times. There's no market timing. You don't get in and out. You stay 100% fully invested in three different asset classes at all times. It could be U.S. stocks. It could be European stocks. It could be Asian stocks. It could be bonds. It could be real estate. It could be commodities. Whatever is going up at the current time over the past 12 months, 300 different studies have shown that there is a statistical likelihood that those funds will go up in the next 30 days. So you stay in the top three. You look at it for 15 minutes. If you don't have the three, you buy them. And then you turn off the computer and you go outside and have fun. It's very, very simple, very, very easy. Why don't you just buy the top number one rated fund? Actually, the 21st century science shows that holding the top three funds makes more money and has smaller drawdowns and losses than holding the top one. So these gentlemen have really done a great job of showing us how do we diversify our portfolio? How do we use diversification to keep our life savings from crashing? That's what's new.
So Brian, you didn't come up with muscular portfolios on your own. You've adapted it from the latest science that's out there.
Well, I've read hundreds of financial strategies. Most of them are too risky. Most of them will cost you 40 or 50% of your life savings every 10 years, every 20 years, and people can't stand it. What the book does is it shows you a clone of these three men's portfolios. And a clone means that we have made it available for free for the public to use very easily. Mevin Faber, for example, wrote the Ivy Portfolio book. It had five different funds that you could choose from. He has, since that book came out, he has expanded that to 13 different funds that are low-cost index funds, and that provides a much smoother ride, a much better investment experience. But he didn't publish what index funds to use. Muscular Portfolios is the first book to reveal which 13 index funds are the ones that go with Mevin Faber's research and which nine index funds are the ones that go with Steve Lecompte's research. So we have cloned this and created a free website and people can go and look at it anytime. It's updated every 10 minutes while the market is open. You can go there. Maybe sometimes there's no change from last month. In that case, you just turn off the computer and you're done. But when there is a change, you gradually use asset rotation to get rid of a fund that isn't so strong anymore. Maybe it's going down now and you replace it with a fund that is going up. So you just keep rotating into strength and that keeps your portfolio from crashing.
Okay, so there's 13 potential asset portfolios, index funds that you could hold. You hold three of them at any one time, and once a month you rotate based on picking the best three at that moment. What is the principle that determines what the best three is for that month?
The 21st century science is that the stock market is not perfectly random. There is a factor called momentum, which is that assets that have gone up in the last 12 months have a statistical likelihood to go up in the next 30 days. That's very simple, and it's fully disclosed. There's no black box here. We're not selling any financial products. You don't have to buy our fund. It's completely open to the public. Those funds that have the best momentum over the past 12 months, it's not perfect. One of the three might go down next month, but statistically, you have better than chance possibility that those funds will go up in the next 30 days. Everybody on Wall Street knows this, but they don't share it with individual investors very often because the individual investors would learn, why should I pay 1-3% a year to you for doing something that I can do for free on my own? It's like riding a bicycle. You learn how to ride a bicycle. Maybe you fall off once or twice, but then you get it. And once you've learned to ride a bicycle, why would you pay someone to ride a bicycle for you? It's crazy. So if you learn the basic principles of investing, why would you pay some giant Wall Street bank 3% of your life savings a year for bad performance? They don't really do well.
Banks have no incentive to reveal this information to you.
Of course not.
And so momentum, you know, this is something that, you know, I studied back when I was at University of Chicago in finance. You know, there's this thing called efficient markets. You said the markets aren't random or the markets aren't efficient. Efficient markets basically means that it's very hard to pick stocks because whatever we know about the stock's price is already, about the stock's performance is already calculated into that price. So it's very hard to beat the market. But there is the biggest single thing that the academics have found is an exception to this is momentum. And that's what the Muscle portfolios take advantage of.
That's right. The market is not perfectly efficient. What we see is that human beings have a herding instinct. They all like to get out of the market when it's crashing, which is exactly the wrong time to sell everything because you're buying high and selling low. But people like to herd and buy the things that have gone up the most in the last 12 months. Well, you're already there. You looked at the website, muscularportfolios.com, and you saw exactly what was going up and you bought it. And then people see, oh, this went up a lot in the last 12 months. Maybe I'll buy some too. Well, that's great. Other people will always be buying what Muscular Portfolios users want to sell, and other people will always be selling what Muscular Portfolios users want to buy.
And momentum is, not only do we see it in the data, but it makes sense in terms of, you know, human behavior and human psychology. When people tend to buy things when they're going up, they tend to jump out of things when they're going down. And that's, you know, part of the sort of the tragedy of the stock market of is why people often do worse than the overall stock market.
The new thing in the 21st century is behavioral finance. We are not walking calculators. We don't make decisions logically any more than you pick a mate by being rational and figuring it out on a piece of paper. We act on our opinions, which are based on our emotions. In the market, people just have such a strong behavioral bias toward buying high and selling low. They buy when the market is exciting and they sell when the market is scary. Muscular Portfolios defeats that by giving you a computer formula. And you just follow the formula because it statistically shows something you could never figure out just in your head. It shows which funds are likely to go up in the next 30 days.
Now, could you have done this strategy 30 years ago?
No. There has been a tremendous breakthrough in low-cost index funds. And this is called the index investing revolution. You can get a fund like an exchange-traded fund from Vanguard or from State Street or BlackRock or many, many places now have funds that charge you only 1/20th of 1% a year as their fee. It's really just penny change. So you can buy the entire U.S. stock market. You can buy all stocks in all developed countries outside of the U.S. You can buy all stocks in all emerging economies of the world with just these penny fees. It's really the first time that individual investors have the opportunity to create a diversified portfolio without having to buy 500 individual stocks. That would be crazy.
Right. And so the fees are very low, but also if you trade once a month or winds up being every few months, the cost of making those trades is also extremely low.
Yes. Now we have brokerage firms that offer transaction-free exchange-traded funds. We rate some of them in the book, Muscular Portfolios. You can even get totally free transactions if you're willing to use an app, do the trading on your phone. That can be totally free. We didn't have that 20 years ago. As a matter of fact, when the book Muscular Portfolios lists the exact funds that you would use to follow Jack Bogle's formula or Mevin Faber's formula, one of those funds didn't even exist until 2014. That piece of the jigsaw puzzle fell into place just 4 years ago.
Right.
Now we have a complete pantheon, a complete collection of funds that you can use to get global diversification. So if the emerging markets are going up more than the U.S. market is, your portfolio will automatically rotate toward the emerging markets because that's what's going up. It's really very simple. It's really very easy. We don't hide anything. It's fully disclosed. You can even use websites other than muscularportfolios.com to do the same thing if you're willing to sit down with a calculator and figure it out.
Right. That's fantastic. And one of the things that I love about this book is that you've taken the cutting edge finance that really is not very accessible and translated it to the point that someone in 10, 15 minutes a month can do this. And even in the book itself, we've actually done something kind of unusual for an investment book. It's full color, filled with illustrations, charts, graphs, to really communicate these complex concepts as clearly as possible. What made you want to do that kind of full color treatment?
Well, I manage my own personal wealth, mostly using the muscular portfolios that are in the book. I have a minority of my money that is following some experimental things, which maybe will be written up in my next book. But right now, those things aren't working. And the muscular portfolios have been working for 20 years. So I had to prepare some kind of a document. I was going to make a 16-page booklet for the trustees of my living trust. My father died of dementia when he was 60. My mother passed away with dementia when she was in her 80s. And so my family has that history. I need to be aware of that. So I've set up a living trust with three trustees. They're people in their 20s. So they will be there if I have a stroke or I become incapacitated and my wife might not be there to help me. They would take over to manage my money so that I could get into a nursing home. I could have care. Now, they wouldn't be able to help me if they just put the cash into a money market fund. If you're getting 1% on your money, that's not enough
right.
to support you in a nursing home. And believe me, you don't want to be on Medicaid because you'll be put in the cellar. You want to have saved enough money so that in your golden years, you can be taken care of and you will have a comfortable retirement, even if you don't really recognize people anymore. So the 16-page booklet turned into a 400-page book. And now we can share it with everyone because it explains why this has come about, why it wasn't possible to do this 20 years ago, why we have low-cost index funds now and we didn't have them a decade ago. That is something that anyone can read. And we say right in the front of the book, you can read this whole book in 60 minutes. Just flip through the pages, look at the pictures and read the captions, and you'll get 90% of the content. Then go back and read the text
right.
of parts that you're interested in. You don't have to read the whole thing. You could in a whole weekend. You could just go through in a nice weekend and you would get to read chapter 1 through chapter 24. But you don't have to. Just looking at the pictures, they're designed to make people understand it. And they might just put the book aside and say, I'm not going to read this chapter on taxes until I'm doing my taxes in April.
Right.
You don't have to read every word.
Yeah, you've really done a tremendous job of translating this complex information. You know, I've got a lot of authors that they're deep experts in a field. They're trying to figure out how to communicate to a lay public. Any advice for authors that are trying to do what you did, which is translate this complex information to something that's going to be accessible to the average reader?
Well, writing is an art. And I don't know if I can really give guidance to all of the other
right.
artists, but just learning to use small words, use short sentences, use short paragraphs. Right there, you could improve the comprehension of your readers a great deal. When you run into these $2 words, even saying momentum, that's kind of a long word. So we
right.
spend a lot of time. What is that? How do you use that? We found that every single ordinary portfolio that we added momentum to gained 4 to 6 percentage points of return over a 45-year period. That is a tremendous improvement with just one little change. Now, to explain that, let's use small words. Let's keep our paragraphs and our sentences short. Let's make it easy and not make it something that you have to be an MBA to read. No offense.
So in the book you had, I just want to go a little bit deeper. You went into three different kinds of portfolios, the Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear. Do you want to just talk about each of those a little bit? We sort of talked about the Papa Bear having these 13 funds. Let's start with the Baby Bear. Talk about that,
yes.
because that's not really a muscular portfolio, but it's sort of an entry level.
Well, we have these three model portfolios in the book and a fourth one if you're really, really rich and you really don't need the money, but you just want to make sure it doesn't crash. The theory of the first chapter is that people are looking for Goldilocks investing. They're looking for investing that makes a good return, but it's not too risky. It's not going to crash. Just in the same way that astronomers look for the Goldilocks planet, which is not too hot and it's not too cold to support life.
Right.
And Goldilocks went into the three bears' house and she found one porridge was too hot, one porridge was too cold, and one porridge was just right. Muscular portfolios are examples of Goldilocks investing. You get market-like returns. You get double-digit returns from your portfolio without any fear of crashes. So the three model portfolios that these experts we are quoting from have developed, the two that are muscular portfolios are the Mama Bear and the Papa Bear. The one that Jack Bogle of Vanguard has been promoting for the past 25 years is called the Baby Bear because it's not a muscular portfolio. It's what we call a starter portfolio. Let's say that you are going to go in a sailboat around the world. You
right.
might not have internet access for months at the time. You can't check the market every month. You are going to be in your sailboat. You're going to be paddling around the world or sailing, hopefully. But you could put your money into the two funds in the Baby Bear portfolio. And it's likely that when you docked on the other side of the world, your portfolio would have gone up. You don't have to worry about it crashing too much because those two funds give you diversification. If you are not sailing a sailboat around the world and you can check your website once a month, then you should use the Mama Bear or the Baby Bear. The Mama Bear has 9 different funds. The website, muscularportfolios.com, shows you which 3 you should have this month. So you pick a date. It could be the last day of the month. It could be the first day of the month. It could be your birthday, whatever you'll remember. You look there, and if you already have those 3 funds in your portfolio because you bought them the previous month, you can quit. You are okay for the next 30 days. If one of the funds has changed, you drop one out and you add one so that you are always holding the 3 that have the best probability of going up in the next 30 days. The Papa Bear portfolio is exactly the same, except it chooses from a menu of 13 different low-cost index funds. You still buy the top 3, and once a month you check, and you just make sure if the order has changed a little bit, you gradually rotate your portfolio into the 3 that have the best odds of success.
And I will personally vouch, because I put a section of my assets into Muscular Portfolios, and it's easy to do, and it and the logic of it is impeccable, and it doesn't take 15 minutes a month. I mean, it's most months or a number of months, you don't even really have to do much of anything. You're just checking. The portfolios didn't change, so you just move on. Some months you'll find you need to swap out one for another. It's a 5-minute exercise. It's
yes.
Very simple.
We have found over the past 45 years of projections that there will be a change in your portfolio 9 times a year.
Right.
So January, February, March, May, June, July, September, October, November, the other months, you don't do anything. So you have 3 months of the year that you just check and you're done. You have 9 months of the year that there's likely to be one change on the average.
So this book is the latest of your books as an author. You've had a very successful series in the past called The Window Secrets. I'd love to hear just a little bit about that and what made those books so successful. I think you've sold over 2 million copies of those books. Give us a little background on your history as an author.
Yes, we sold 2.5 million copies of the Window Secrets series. My first book was in 1991, which was called Windows 3 Secrets. What I found in 1990 was that Microsoft had really made a breakthrough, that Windows 3.0 was much, much better than Windows 2.1. It had better memory management. It had fonts. It had everything that you would want. And big companies at last could use Microsoft Windows 3 because it wasn't a toy. It wasn't a plaything. It was a real operating system. So I wrote Windows 3 Secrets because I was able to research into Microsoft and find the documents that they wrote for themselves to be able to manage Windows 3.0, but they hadn't revealed it to most of the public. Windows 3 Secrets became the number one best-selling computer book of any kind in the US. Later editions like Windows 3.1 Secrets, Windows 95 Secrets, Windows 98 Secrets became the number one best-selling computer book of any kind in the US, Canada, UK, Australia, Brazil. It was really a worldwide thing. Now, the technology industry has changed. Microsoft is not the 900-pound gorilla anymore. Now you have Google. Now you have Facebook. You even have a lot of tech going into these smartphones like Samsung and Apple. Microsoft is a player, but it's not the only player in the game. Now my attention turned to the financial world. I wanted to let people know how they can manage their money and not be afraid of crashes without paying any fees to anyone, which really never improves the performance of your portfolio. Paying Goldman Sachs 3%.
Right.
Goldman Sachs has proven to have the worst performance of any of the giant Wall Street banks, but they charge some of the highest fees. That's all in the book. We explain that. If you have your money in any of these giant Wall Street banks, get it out today, move it to a bargain brokerage where they charge you 0, and manage your money yourself 15 minutes a month. Very, very easy. So the business world and the Wall Street world are 10 times dirtier than the technology industry. I found so much dirt about the technology industry, but Wall Street makes Microsoft look like angels. It's incredible.
Give me some examples.
The fees that hedge funds charge, they can charge 1, 2, 3% of your life savings every year, and they take 20% of your gain. It's been calculated that the hedge funds have produced less return over the past few decades than if you just had your money in a money market fund. They have done such a poor job because they have such high fees. When you are giving them 20% of your gain, and they're not sharing losses with you, of course, they're taking part of your gains, and they're taking these fees every year, it's been calculated that a hedge fund would have to outperform the S&P 500 by 6 percentage points a year for you to just get the return of the S&P 500 after their fees. It's really a big scam, and people should know about this. Now, there are some hedge funds that have performed extremely well. But if you take 1,000 people and you put them in a room and you have them flip a coin 5 times, 3% of them are going to come up heads 5 times in a row. So of course, there are some hedge funds that have better performance. But if you look at the overall performance, there are very few real hedge fund winners and a lot of hedge funds that are just a ripoff. You just can't trust putting your money into a hedge fund, nor can you trust putting your money into Wall Street banks, the Merrill Lynch's, the Morgan Stanley's, the JP Morgan's, the Goldman Sachs. These places have high fees, but they're not going to give you as good a performance as the market because their fees have to come out. And they're investing in things just like any human being. They're buying what's exciting and they're selling what's scary. That is not the way to invest. Long-term investors can do a much better job by themselves because in investing, simpler is better. This is truly a place where you want the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. The more simple you can make your portfolio, the more gains you can make. Anything that's complicated will be a formula that works some of the time, but not other times. Anything that's complicated is going to involve fees. Anything where you're trading, you have to pay a little fee every time you buy or sell anything in the market. Avoiding those fees is really the key, and that's really so easy. It's not sexy. It's not like you're walking down the street taking candy from babies, but it's so easy to avoid these fees now that people just need to know how they can do it.
Right. And one thing that comes across in your book very strongly is just a frustration with the way the investment system is set up and the way it takes advantage of the individual investor.
Yes, people have been taught, you can't do it yourself. You can't ride the bicycle yourself. Let us ride the bicycle for you. Well, people are getting hip to that. People have been taking their money out of mutual funds, which have high fees, and they've been moving their money into exchange-traded funds, which are a new thing that only came out in the 1990s. Exchange-traded funds have low fees. Exchange-traded funds don't charge a load going in, so there's no case where you have to pay 3, 4, 5% of your money just to invest in the fund. Those are marketing fees, and they were used by stockbrokers to push mutual funds that would pay them a kickback or a commission. The stockbrokers liked that, but individuals over time learned that they don't need to pay these fees going in. So mutual funds with load fees have now become a minority of the market. Now we need to educate investors that mutual funds don't give you the low cost advantages of exchange traded funds. ETFs can be traded any time of the day. You don't have to wait until midnight to find out what the price of the fund you bought was, like a mutual fund. ETFs don't have loads going in. ETFs are very tax efficient, so you can use them in a taxable account. Mutual funds are required to declare their capital gains at the end of every year, and you pay taxes on those in a taxable account, even if you didn't sell any shares of that mutual fund. ETFs almost never declare a capital gain like that unless you actually sell the fund. So muscular portfolios work in a taxable account too. If you're using ETFs, you don't have to pay tax on your capital gains until you sell the ETF. If you hold a mutual fund in a taxable account, you have to pay for the capital gains on your tax form every year. So the Papa Bear portfolio, which we talked about, it has a menu of 13 different exchange-traded funds and a fully disclosed formula that tells you which three are the most likely to go up in the next 30 days. The Papa Bear portfolio, the majority of its capital gains are long-term. That means you held that ETF for 12 months and one day or more. If you hold an ETF or any security for 12 months plus one day or more, you pay a much lower capital gains tax rate, which could be zero, could be 15%, or it could be 20%. Right now, the top bracket is around 39%. So you see how much you can save on taxes if some of your investments are long-term capital gains, you've held them for more than 12 months. A lot of investing strategies completely pretend that taxes don't exist. I can't tell you how many books I've read. I can't tell you how many academic studies I've read. This study ignores the effect of trading costs and taxes.
Right.
Well, trading costs and taxes, that's the whole thing. That's how your performance goes down the drain. You can't ignore taxes. You can't ignore trading costs. That has to be included in there. So I just throw the book away.
Right. Now, in muscular portfolios, how often, you know, on average, are you holding things for 12 months plus? Because there is a certain amount of trading that you're doing.
Yes. You're changing your portfolio with a muscular portfolio about 9 times a year. So 3 months of the year, you do nothing. The other 9 months, you sell one ETF and you buy another one that has better odds, according to the computer. The trading is calculated on the amount of money you made on capital gains. So when you have a capital gain over the last 45 years of simulations, was that made by selling something that you held for more than 12 months, or was that gain made by something that you sold in less than 12 months? We just calculate that. It's the first time that I've ever seen an investing book that shows you exactly how much you would pay in taxes if you followed the Papa Bear portfolio, the Mama Bear portfolio, or any muscular portfolio. This simply can't be ignored. Everyone doesn't have all of their wealth in Roth IRA accounts. People have a lot of their wealth in the bank or in a brokerage fund that is taxable. Well, you have to take taxes into account. What we've found is that people who are in the lower tax brackets, which are now 10% or 12%, those people don't have to worry about paying taxes on a muscular portfolio at all. They'll lose less than 1 percentage point a year of their performance, even if they keep their muscular portfolios 100% in taxable accounts. The people who are in the highest tax bracket do have to worry about how much they're going to lose to taxes, and they may want to use an advisor. But we're talking about people who make more than $450,000 a year. That is 0.5% of the American population. So if you and your household make more than $450,000 a year, you should have a tax advisor. If you make less than $450,000 a year, forget about it.
Now, one of the things that so impressed me about this book is the range of knowledge levels it's designed to appeal to. So like you said earlier, you could take an hour, go through, read the captions and the pictures, and get the gist. At a deeper level, you know, in a small amount of time, you can learn enough to really apply this fully. But there's also a lot of information out there that is of relevance and interest to a PhD student in finance. I mean, there's a lot of tour through the academic theory of finance. Talk a little bit about your motivation for including that and what your thoughts are about that.
Well, the book, Muscular Portfolios, has a flow. If you just read chapter one, you'll get a tremendous amount of information about what not to do as an individual investor, and more importantly, what you should do. And here's how we invest in the 21st century now that we have this knowledge and how individuals can use it. We have packed into the back of the book a lot of history about why did these portfolios grow up in the 1970s, the 1980s, that have been shown not to work. They've been shown to crash. They hurt individual investors because we human beings can't tolerate our life savings going down 40 or 50%. We bail out and then we miss the bounce that happens at the next bull market. The fact is that the academics who won the Nobel Prize in Economics in the 1980s and the 1990s, their formulas were wrong.
That's
and the
true.
People who won the Nobel Prize in Economics in the 21st century, they have proven these other formulas are better. So you should ignore what they said in the 1970s. You should do what the experts have found in the 2000s and the 2010s. You see a tremendous advance in behavioral finance, in understanding that we don't simply make the most rational choice when it comes to money. Anytime we are confronted with numbers, our brain kind of checks out and
right.
turns the decision-making over to lower parts of the brain that just guess, and then they use the verbal center to tell us, oh, this is the most rational, logical decision.
Right.
Well, so we're constantly going around. Think about the cars that people buy. Think about the houses that people buy. These aren't rational decisions. These are our opinions. These are our emotions making us make these expenditures. Much more true in the stock market. We just are a victim of our desire to jump away from the poisonous snake, the desire to hide from the tiger. That rules us, but we're not aware of it, which makes it much more dangerous. We're not conscious of the way in which we jump to conclusions about money, and then we are disappointed later on to find that we bought something that's going to crash, or we didn't get out of something that's going to crash. You need a computer formula to go to overcome the behavioral biases that we have. We have to think about, what if we were invited to win $1 million by playing against the world's greatest chess grandmaster? Well, if you somehow were drawn out of a hat to play the world's winning chess grandmaster, would you guess the moves that you're going to play? No, you would use a supercomputer, and the supercomputer would say pawn to king four or whatever, and you would just do it. You know that you can't possibly beat the grandmaster, but the computers beat grandmasters all the time. That's because the computer just calculates much, much faster than our human brains can do, and it will calculate the same problem the same way every time. We are very opinionated. We're very emotional. We don't think we're emotional, but all of our decisions are based on our entire background. So if you're playing against the biggest gamblers in Wall Street, do you want to guess what to buy and sell, or do you want to use a computer? Obviously, the best solution is to use a computer, play the odds, buy the things that have the most likelihood of going up in the next 30 days, and don't try to outsmart these right. Wall Street supercomputers.
All right. Very well said, Brian. So, Brian, if people want to learn more about you or follow you, where can they go?
The website is muscularportfolios.com. And the book, Muscular Portfolios, is at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, every place. It's something that I hope it doesn't sell out, but they'll print more if the bookstores are
sold out.
We'll
keep printing them. We'll print as many as people want to buy. And my bet is it's going to be quite a few. All right. Well, Brian, it's been a pleasure to have you. Brian, just to sum up, the author of Muscular Portfolios, The Investing Revolution for Superior Returns with Lower Risk, out this month. And very excited to have you. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Building Books podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you happen to listen to it, or share it on social media. If you're an author who wants to submit a proposal or pitch to Ben Bella Books, please go to benbellabooks.com, click on the For Prospective Authors button, and it'll lead you through a little form that makes it real easy to submit to us. Thank you.